Have any of you ever lied?
No. Except that one time. Right?
Of course, we have honest liars.
That's different. That's different.
Absolutely honest premeditated.
Of course you have.
Only when my mouth is moving.
Mostly lies of omission.
Lies of omission?
Mostly to myself.
Oh, omission.
Well, but lies of omission are just as serious, just as much sin as lies of commission.
More so, because you're fully deceptive, deceiving yourself, too.
Remember what Jesus said to the Jews that believed on him. He said that you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father are all you're capable of doing. He was a liar from the beginning, as you are. He's all he's capable of doing. And he, from God's perspective, a lie is what? Okay, it's something that's not the truth. But a lie is something that isn't constant no matter what the time, no matter what the circumstance. So it isn't the same. In other words, he can't, the evil one cannot tell the truth. Because he is from the earth and is earthy, and therefore his constraints and his knowledge of life are in time. The truth has to be something that doesn't change, like it says of Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What I'm trying to get at is what we think of as truth or lie is, again, our definitions within our own little thing up here. So, from God's perspective, we can do nothing but lie, because we speak in terms of the world, and the world heareth us. Can you understand this? And sometimes lies are, you know, they're like lie squared or lie to the fifth power, because they're just so obvious and so ridiculous, but you say them anyway. But you cannot, the human race cannot tell truth, be truth. The only thing we can do is bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. Now, As you probably are obviously aware of, your thoughts, how you've been thinking, your mind talk, all affect your behavior and your moods, because you can talk yourself into the worst mood that you've ever been, or if you've taken happy pills, you can talk yourself into the best mood you've ever been in. Or you can go to a conference and somebody will make you feel good about yourself, so you can have a momentary section of thing of feeling good. But fundamentally, your mind talk controls your behavior. Controls your mood. Controls everything. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so, we always, like again, I'm going to pick on the airy guys again. For years and years and years, I'm serious, every time, whether if it was business was going wrong, it was Judy's fault because she didn't help him. If the marriage was going wrong, it was Judy's fault because she didn't understand what submission was. Does this sound familiar?
She wouldn't dance with me.
She probably, there's a whole other stuff, a lot of stuff she wouldn't do either, but that's another story. But my point was, how you thought defined and still does your state of your marriage. Harry, how he thinks, Harry spends half, I don't know about half, but a large, since I've known him, a large percentage of his life waiting for the next shoe to drop. Waiting for it to be wrong, waiting for something to go wrong. He can't stand it if he feels good, because something, some voices will start, and it will be, pretty soon he's anxious and depressed, and then mad, but it was all his talk that caused it. Now, and we could go around the room. It's all of, including me, I mean all of us, everybody. Now, isn't that fundamentally kind of silly?
Yes, one of the triggers is the issue, isn't it? That cause the mind to get started on its ramps.
That's all it knows how to do. What, any kind of any stimulant whatsoever. you can be in your idyllic place of the universe. And the surroundings are beautiful, the weather's perfect, and a bird craps on you. Anything. Or a jet plane.
Society, that's a wonderful thing.
But the whole idea of it is that you're programmed to not let yourself be at peace, to not let yourself have a state of happiness or joy, to not, because that's you don't want that. You think you do, but you don't. Isn't that kind of, that's crazy. I mean, go to a bookstore, or go even online, wherever you look, there's somebody, or on television, something's got something to sell you, to improve you. Whether it's losing weight, whether it's how to raise better children, I mean, on and on, and it seems to me like most of them are Christian books. It's just sort of an observation lately. But it can't happen. But your mind won't let you hear this, because your mind has to keep you as the one in control, even if the being in control has caused you to be miserable. Now, do you all really understand? And we're spending a lot of time on this because this is the foundation for the study or ridding of high places, of going up to these mountains that populate your being. Anybody have any response to any of this? How many times have you said something and thought you say things you don't want to say?
I say things my wife doesn't want me to say.
You worry about things that aren't there. And those cause you to do things that make absolutely no sense. And it's not just somebody does that, everybody does it. You know, you say something in Bible study and I yell at you for it, so your mind says, I'm not going to say it anymore. I'm just going to sit here. But it's just like you did in the first grade where you got embarrassed, you raised your hand and you gave a wrong answer, and so you said, I'm not going to do this anymore. Oh,
hey.
I'm a 47th cousin twice removed.
It's like a cough to me.
Still here, huh?
Did you expect somebody else sitting there?
No place to go. Hell won't take it.
Does anybody remember their memories? I mean, let me put it another way. Do you remember your recollection of your own memories?
No, I've never told
me. What? What? What'd you say, Ronnie?
He wiped the slate clean.
Well, I tell you something, being around someone like my mom who can't remember 2 minutes.
She did, yeah.
Just, she went and did something really outstanding yesterday. Got up on a longhorn steer, had her picture taken, big Texas whoop-de-doo. Didn't remember she did it. So she saw a picture. She said, oh, yeah. Memory's gone.
Is that a problem?
But can all of us, I mean, I'm not, do any of you think that you have a good memory about your childhood? Except Gary? Most of us can't remember. We can remember snapshots. And then every once in a while there's something happens that you can remember a little bit of a running thing. But fundamentally, our memories have faded at best, have been manipulated to create a reality that you want.
We're all novelists.
Yeah, so you have to come to this place that all of those thoughts that you have and all of the things and all the great ideas that you have to see, they haven't gotten you anything. That all of your thoughts about the past have been lies or twisted to be able to justify yourself in some way. Well, I love, I used to drive with Harry all over the place. And so, Harry, every time we went, he'd say, we go down a street, and he'd say, oh, God, that reminds me of Paris. Or go someplace, this food is as good as it was in the Ritz Hotel in Paris. I mean, it was on and on and on, but it was not, he wasn't doing it to do anything wrong. He was doing it because of this nature that says he has to constantly enhance himself. Now, why? Why would one have to... And Harry's not the only one that does it, but he's just the one that we all see. Fred died. Fred died, and we had to get Harry.
Harry does it better.
Yeah, he does it more obvious, and it's just...
He's the best out of it.
No, but it's he's the most theatrical. That's good. He wins the Huffy Award. As a matter of fact, a Huffy was named after him. But stop. Why would somebody do that?
I seem to have dropped my congressional medal of honor.
Well, I did that to get rid of a ticket. I did it.
Was it a lie?
No, it was. We were in Irving and.
Which one?
Had driven. No. We were. He was being facetious. We were in Irving and driving past these horse things there. And I was looking at them and I ran a stop sign.
Driving to a horse.
No. You know those statues of the horses there.
Yeah.
And I ran that stop sign. Person, run light behind me. He pulls up. And the cop pulls over and may I see your license and registration? And I just happen to say, boy, the people at the grand jury are going to really think this. Cops are deathly afraid of grand juries. And so Kerry has not let me forget it because I just said, when the people at the down, he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, I'm on the grand jury that's sitting now. And he said, well, thank you, Mr. Anthony.
It just came up in conversation.
No, it's dancing at the utmost. It is the worst kind of dancing.
Dancing where?
At the utmost. It's manipulative dancing.
Best bolt of a check almost.
And then we got Harry and Rick, who were at Highland Park Cafeteria, and they came out and were very proud because they'd walked a check. They told me, or this homeless guy came here last week And he's homeless. He's lost to everything, he said. And he drives up an $80,000 Mercedes convertible. And he's sitting right here. And he's telling me, I said, I've got to tell you something. I mean, your little auto out there doesn't help your case of wanting help. And he said, oh, and he went into the story about how proud he was of himself because he'd been able to duck the owner, you know, the. And I said, if you want to come here, you got to get rid of that car. There's no in between.
And
he
left.
Huh?
That was the last we saw.
I mean, you've got to not get rid of it. You've got to give it back to who owns it because you're living a lie. It's the same thing as living in debt. You're living a lie. But your mind convinces you because your mind is a liar. My mind is a liar. It's utilitarian. Everything about it. So that's why we must empty ourselves in the same way as Christ. I'll tell you one more Harry story and then we'll quit.
Please come back, John.
I was living, I lived for 5 years in John and Josiana's, or John's parents' house because they had passed away and it was, anyway, it was great. I could live there for free. And it was in University Park, and the bathroom was the one next to my bedroom was, it was really a neat commode with a light blue color. But every once in a while, during this particular time, as it's wont to do, the flushing mechanism would stick, and then it would run. And so I'm in the bedroom, which is right next to it, and Harry went to the bathroom. We were playing. This is during the process. We were playing Gin Rummy. And so pretty soon I hear the very distinctive crash, which is, you know, somebody's taken the thing off and then dropped the cover. And I said, everything okay? I said, yeah, everything's fine. And to this day, he swears he didn't break that.
This is not the way I remember this story.
But the point of it is, all of us have done it and do it because we are about self-protecting. It's just more fun to pick on Harry than it is some of you. So.
I can clearly see it when other people do it. I'm finally attuned to it.
But why do we do that? It's death in a community because it creates the ultimate forms of separation. It makes your, it proves the point what I said. The religion of your temple, and all of us have one, is at the antithesis of the religion of God. It doesn't matter how many times you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. And that's why we must be transfigured by the renewing of our minds so that every thought and every emotion goes through that one statement. It's finished. And I promise you, you then, with Paul, you can never again be a debtor to your mind. And that is the definition of freedom. Will never again be a debtor to your emotions. That is the real freedom. Because you're only being. It's not like, oh, this is what you should do. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and in all your mind. That's the automatic of picking up the cross. And the exception should be when there's ever mind talk going on. Because until you see that your subconscious and conscious activities that are going on in this, which is the temple of the living God, until you can admit to yourself deeply, that religion is not just different, it's exactly opposite of the religion of the Father and of Jesus Christ. They cannot coexist. And then when you hear this, when you can see that finally, then there will be this renewing of your mind. Not you're going to think better thoughts. You're going to not think any thoughts. They're meaningless. It's a gradual conforming to that which was and is and will be. You walk with the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ was always empty. Then all of the pillars and all of the goofy things in our minds will not, they lose their influence on you because you're not giving them any breath. But when you set, this is fine, okay. You can understand this for a minute. And then you can walk out there and boom, it's gone. How can that be? The psalmist said, how can a mother forget her suckling child? Well, that's how it must be. We must be the suckling child to the Father. We must see that He can't forget you. You know, if you don't feel close to God as you used to, who moved? God didn't move.
This feels like an incomplete sentence in the sense of when a mind is empty, then what? What takes place? It's like you go from thinking to seeing.
You go from thinking to awe.
Then the process or the awareness.
There's no thought between. There's no thought between thought and action. You're being.
And you be, and you see, and you are, and you is.
There's no ever again. You don't think about being, or you don't think about what you're going to say, or you don't have any concern for what is going to come out next, or what you look like, or anything. I mean, it's a different way of living, and that's the way of living described in the Scriptures.
And you don't have to describe it in advance.
You can't.
Let somebody else describe it.
You can't describe it.
You bypass all the filters.
You take no thought. That's what Jesus meant. Take no thought for your life. Not even to the extent of taking thought for your clothes or what you're going to eat. The example, consider the lilies of the field, consider the birds of the air, consider the vine, the grape. He is the vine, you are the branch. You can't, but the thought process, which is so worshipped, is so evil, it's beyond comparison. But you can't even hear that until you run the rabbit with all the thoughts. So you've taken them to the edge of time and space itself. You heard me say it before, and I'll say it till hell freezes over. Every invention and idea since the day of the cross has been an attempt to flee the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because you want something, anything different. You want to have a problem so that you can get credit for having the solution. You want to have Jesus as your buddy and your in that asinine footsteps in the sand crap. Oh, isn't that sweet? It's fine. It's a kindergarten tale. It's believing in Him instead of living by the faith of Him. Please, it's time that you be free so that you don't bounce up and down and to and fro and here and there. Remember that ancient prayer. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal life, live thou thy life in me. Do thou thy will in me. Be thou made flesh in me. I have no life but thee. I have no will but thine. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. Period. That's the goal of discipleship. Now, obviously this isn't for everybody, because you can't hear, you can't know this stuff until you failed. You can't know it until you've taken it in your mind and seen the edge of it. But as long as you're living in la la land and you have this Pollyanna theology about, oh, someday. Well, for 30 years I used to make unmerciful fun of Gary for all of his ideas. He'd be convinced they were from God. I promise you, if any of them were from God, it would have come to pass. And I still mercilessly make fun of his ideas. And I make fun of Harry's fears. Oh, I gotta go. I'm gonna die alone and be a hobo. Everybody won't notice that I'm hurting. See the evilness of our nature. And then finally see that we were only the vessel, the glove for the mystery of Christ. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Nothing about you. But you, again, we can talk about, all of the high places and the idols and until hell freezes over. But if you leave this and go out there, and then you restructure it, that's what Paul said. If I build again the things which I've destroyed, I make the grace of Christ empty, vain. When he's talking about this kind of thing, you building back up your own little Jerusalem after it's been destroyed by the preaching of the cross. And you go back up and you build it up again. Anybody else? This is kind of important.
I got something. It just cracks me up to watch what my mind does with what you're saying, because it's in my mind's best interest to agree and not be opposed, and so it's like a self-preservation, and my mind actually says that is really good, and then several times a day you should go ahead and do that. It's just it co-opts the gospel to try and keep from dying.
Well, it's like somebody trying to interview Benny Hinn. He's an amoeba.
Yeah, yeah. The snake is at work all the time. That cobra just moving back.
That's why I make fun of you when you say I've been thinking about it.
I've been thinking about that.
You've been thinking about how to co-opt it to make it of none effect.
Yeah.
So it can be used for your own purposes.
That's what I do.
But stop it then.
Well, I do when I see it. But if I don't see it, I won't stop it. But seeing it, it's humiliating, it's funny, it's weird, it's stupid, But it's the evil one at work
trying
to do its job of, keeping me alive. It's hilarious.
That's why the day cannot come until that evil one, that son of perdition, be exposed.
Yeah.
But not just exposed, shamed. So that you can despise, Christ did, despise the shame of your youth.
Yeah.
I pray for the day prayed for it for many, many years and days. When you just be, you never, ever, ever have to think about being again. I pray for the day that Harry never again has to elevate so that because of his own shame. I pray for the day that Pete's pride is broken so completely that he's never again shy. I pray for the day Joy Santa stops picking him.
Keep praying. I was going to say, don't give her such an easy target.
Or you won't be her victim.
But we have the mind of Christ. Let this, remember the two most important words in the Bible, let this mind be in you and reckon yourself crucified. You let by emptying. Now, if you don't know that Jesus Christ is in you, you think he's some kind of a distant thing, then you can't do it. So you'll walk around still as a suckling child. And that's okay. Unless you're 60 years old and still sucking. Take it, big guy. That's a good place to close.